Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, how are you doing out there? It's a nice Thursday. Man. You know, a couple days ago, I was like, what day of the week is it? You know, when you work at home and you work a lot, you kind of forget what day of the week it is, and I did. But hey, it's a nice Thursday. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Would love to hear from you. And hopefully, you know, give me a call. We can talk. We have one caller coming on in. We'll see how this goes. And folks, if you want to support the ministry, please give me, well, you know, a little, you know, prayer time. I would love that. You know, this ministry could use it. We are under a lot of attack. There's some stuff going on. I don't have to tell you all the details, but let me just say that there's some spiritual attack going on. And now let's just say that, I'll leave it at that. And it's pretty big, pretty heavy, and hopefully, by God's grace, we'll be getting a new website released in a couple of months, and we can start getting back on track. We were usually at the top of everything, and now we're not because of, well, problems. And so hopefully we'll get that going again. And also, you know, like I said, anyway, supporting CARM. Also, you can support us financially. We'd like that. All you got to do is go to the CARM website. On the right-hand side is a donate button. Please check it out, the donate button. And underneath it is a wish list if you want to help us out. There's different ways to help CARM out. You know, one is to just donate regularly. We love that, and it helps us make a budget. You can also just go to the wish list. There's some stuff on there that we could use at the office. But we're low on funds, so if that sounds like something you want to kind of get into, you can go to the wish list on CARM there. Check that out. It's on Amazon. You can check things out. And, of course, I do stuff on Patreon, patreon.com, and it's a way of supporting the ministry, too, indirectly, because you're supporting me directly. And it takes some of the financial burden off of CARM that way, and that's what we're hoping. Also, we can do, so that's Matt Slick on Patreon. Just, you know, check it out. All right, let's jump right on the phones. Let's get to Otto from Utah. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Matt. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
I recently spoke to a few Mormon missionaries, and we got talking about baptism. Mm-hmm. And there's two verses they brought up. I was hoping you can help me work through them. So the first one is John 3:5, where it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Mm-hmm. So they say that the water there is talking about baptism.
Some people believe that. Some believe it. Some think the water is the word. And this is just my opinion. I believe the water there is the birth water, the breaking of the water, the mother's womb. And the reason I say that is because Jesus says in verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old?" What's Nicodemus talking about? Being born physically. He's old. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? What's he talking about? The water of the womb, right? And then Jesus says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I go, oh, to me that makes sense. Then Jesus says, that was born of the flesh is flesh and the Spirit is spirit. It just makes sense to me that what the water's talking about there is the water of the womb. You got to be born of the water of the womb and be born again. Now, I'm going to tell you that most of the commentators don't agree with me on this one. I'm just telling you, that's my position. I just think contextually it makes sense. So that's what I think is going on. Okay?
Okay, so since they're using that verse to prove that it's necessary for salvation...
Well, if that's the case,
how would you respond to them?
If that's the case, you go to Acts 10:44-48. All right? Because it says there, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" So the Holy Spirit was upon the disciples, and the Gentiles were speaking in tongues and exalting God. Now, speaking in tongues is a charismatic gift given to the Christians. So if they want to tell me they're not saved at this point, that they're exalting God, praising God, they've already received the Holy Spirit the same as the apostles had, well, you know, they're going to say they're not saved until they get dunked in water. It doesn't make any sense. Okay?
Okay, I see. And real quick, the second one was, going to Matthew chapter 12, where they say that when Jesus got baptized, he did it to fulfill all righteousness. They use that verse as well for baptism is necessary for salvation.
Well, that's 3:15, Matthew 3:15. And, because he says, permit it at this time, for it is in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I have an article on Karm you might want to check out. Why was Jesus baptized? All right? Now, this verse is quoted in that reference. Now, it looks like what he was doing was fulfilling the Old Testament requirements of the priest entering into the priesthood. Jesus is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:20, Hebrews 7:25. So when we go back to the Old Testament, notice what Jesus says here, to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill what? Old Testament. That's what you fulfill. So in Leviticus 8, Numbers 4, Exodus 29, you see in these chapters that in order to be a priest, he had to be 30 years of age. Jesus was 30. He had to be anointed with oil, and the Holy Spirit's representative, or the oil represents the Holy Spirit. He had to have a verbal blessing given upon the priest. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And when you go to Numbers 8:7, it says that the priest had to be sprinkled with water. So, in my opinion, Jesus was sprinkled with water, because that was the Old Testament law requirement for entering into the priesthood. So I bring this up to them, and I show this to them, and they don't know what to do with it, because they've never heard this before. Okay?
Oh, okay. Awesome. Beautiful. Thanks, Matt.
All right, man. God bless, Otto. All right, that was Otto from, Salt Lake City. That's right. Oh, man, or Utah. Let's get to, Bonnie from Wisconsin. Hey, Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I hear you fine.
Okay, I called yesterday. I don't know, I missed the first part of your show yesterday, but you were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, I think, or something.
Okay, yeah.
Not sure. I used to be one for 50 years.
Wow.
I stopped going. There were a lot of things, you know, about it. Like, for instance, I think there's, you know, when you get in debates with Jehovah's Witnesses, mm-hmm. you know, you'll talk about the Trinity or the soul or something like that, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that, you know, I look at the Trinity as like, well, I think almost anybody can prove it or disprove it. You can have a debate. Anytime you have a debate, to me, it's worthless because, you know, nobody's going to win because I think both parties can pretty much prove their point, you know.
But that's impossible.
The witnesses can prove their point, and I think you can prove, you know, you can make it look like that.
No, that's impossible. Wait, hold on. Logically impossible. You can't have two opposing positions prove that their positions are both correct when they're opposing each other.
No, I think they're both wrong.
Oh, you think the Trinity's wrong?
That's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, what do you think the Trinity is? Let me ask you. What do you think it is?
I think about this a lot, all right?
All right.
I know what you're saying, what the Trinity is, which to me is totally impossible to understand.
What do you think the Trinity is?
I don't think there is such a thing as a Trinity. Can I just say something? If there was one thing that I would agree with the witnesses, and that is that the Trinity doesn't make any sense, and I have studied and studied and studied it, and I still...
Can I ask you a question, Bonnie?
I want to ask you one, though. Can you explain the Trinity where anybody can understand it? Because I can't.
Yes, I can. Yes,
that's
I can.
Why I can't explain it.
Yes, I can. What do you think we think the Trinity is? That's my question. What do you think it is? What did they say the Trinity was?
I know what you say it is. It's one God that's made up of three essences or something?
No, it's not. That's not our position. I keep asking you the same question. What do you think that it is? From what the Watchtower told you, what did they tell you?
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue. If I could explain it, I would. I can't explain it at all.
So what the Watchtower says the Trinity is three separate gods. And they have that famous little pic.
They say, yeah. They put in, I have the, I don't know if you've ever seen, it's called the Reasoning from the Scriptures.
Yes.
And they put in there, I think, what is the Nicene Creed? I'm not really sure. So basically what they do is they just put in there what the Nicene Creed is. I don't think they even try to explain it, really.
I've done... Just so you know, I've done a lot of research in the witnesses. Behind me is a library.
Yeah,
I've got books from the 1800s. I've got Watchtower material.
So
I've watched our material on CD, and they have presented it falsely many times in many ways. What they'll inconsistently do is quote, for example, the Nicene Creed, and then they misrepresent that and reinterpret it as something that it really is not. And so that's why I was curious to know what you thought it was from that perspective. But let me explain what the Trinity is biblically. Let me explain what it is biblically, okay? Trinity is that there's only one God in all existence, all place, and all time. But what we see is that the Father is called God, the Son is also called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God. The Father speaks, the Son speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks. The Father has a will. The Son has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. The Father loves. Jesus loves. The Holy Spirit loves. So we see these aspects of what we simply call personhood. That's all it is. We just call it personhood. That they exhibit personhood. You and I are persons because you have a will. I have a will. You can say you and yours and me and mine. We recognize each other. That's what a person is. The Father is considered a person. And even the Watchtower would agree. The Father speaks and has a will and loves and hates and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus speaks, loves and hates and all that. And so does the Holy Spirit. He speaks, he has a will, he loves. And so we just see three of those. And we say, well, that's what the Trinity is. That's what God is. He's one God, and we call them three persons. That's it. It's right there in Scripture. It's not a big deal.
Well, okay. This is how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Hebrew Scriptures, and there's no getting around that they were, you know, that they've been transcribed pretty much as they were, you know, through the years. So there was the Hebrew Scriptures, and there's the scrolls that were open. I can't think.
The scrolls were the Hebrew Old Testament written on scrolls, the New Testament written on parchment.
No, I'm thinking
codices.
Of the scrolls that were discovered in 46 or something.
Dead Sea scrolls.
Dead Sea scrolls.
Yes. I was actually at that location.
Dead Sea scrolls, mm-hmm. So the Dead Sea Scrolls read mostly what the Septuagint read. I mean, so there's no getting around that the Dead Sea Scrolls pretty much match what the Septuagint did.
Okay, we've got a break coming up. Bonnie, we have a break. Can you hold on? We'll be right back. Okay, break.
Yeah.
Okay, Bonnie, right back after these messages, folks. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, 1 in 4 people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
St. Jude continues to advance by increasing cure rates in childhood cancer. And donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. When it comes to research and advancements, there are some things that only we can do because we have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more.
you saw a person suffering alongside the road, would you stop and care? Hi, I'm Karen Mulder with today's Caring Wisdom. One day, as I neared the end of a 20-mile breast cancer walk, I was so tired, and I came alongside a walker who was barely moving, and she was in pure agony. I said, "Do you need some water or a power bar?" She said, "No." Then she added, "Where are the shuttles when you need them?" Now, I should have stayed with her and encouraged her to sit down and then watched for a shuttle. But I didn't. My agenda took over. I wanted to get this walk over, have a shower, rub my sore feet, and go to bed. And I'm so sorry that I chose my agenda over my wounded neighbor. Would you? God bless.
Visit Karen's website, wisdomofthewounded.com, for additional resources on how to care well.
Providing your customers with the best experience you can is job one. And let's face it, it's encouraging when our online profile receives another 5-star rating. That's because we don't just want to make a buck. We want to become important to a select group of people. At 99.3 FM, we know we may never have the largest listening audience, but that's okay, because our listeners aren't like everyone else. They listen to 99.3 because we provide uncompromised biblical teaching and Christian talk programs. And the truth always makes an impact. Associating your business with 99.3 FM as an advertiser helps you stand out in the marketplace, and our listeners will thank you for it. If you want to learn more about how you can build a positive reputation with a growing audience, call me or text me directly. I'm Chris Roloff, director of 99.3 FM The Truth, and my cell number is 515-230-4481. Call or text me directly to talk about advertising on 99.3 FM The Truth.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Bonnie, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, so did you have a question? I mean, you did, about the Trinity, I explained it, but okay.
Yeah, I'm just having such a hard time. I have been just studying and studying, trying to figure this out. Okay, so we have the Hebrew Scriptures. They're pretty much established because of the Septuagint, you know, which was before Christ.
They're established. The Bible's established, yes.
It's established, okay. So then the Jews do not accept the Christian Greek scriptures because they say they have only one God. Now, I know that if you look at the Hebrew scriptures and
you
look at
them
and you study them.
Can you hold on? When they say they don't accept the New Testament because they only have one God, we don't believe in more than one God. The New Testament does not teach there's more than one God. Okay.
Well, that's the thing, is that I see lots of gods. Lots of gods there.
Okay.
If you
Bible,
study the Bible, you know, Joshua
Bonnie,
said they
Bonnie,
served other gods. Yeah.
Bonnie, they're false gods. When you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Okay? Galatians 4:8, I think it is. So
okay,
the Bible,
what's the difference between their false gods and Jehovah? What's the difference? I mean, you can't see either one, right? Jehovah's supposed to be invisible also.
A false god, by definition, is a false god. Jehovah is the real God. That's
well, what's the difference? How can you tell the difference?
You tell the difference by reading Scripture. And you know what the Scriptures teach, what false gods are.
So you have to believe the Scripture. You have to believe the Hebrew Scriptures are inspired.
You ought to, because Jesus certainly thought so, and the disciples thought so too. It is the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. The Bible teaches there's only one God in all existence, in all place, in all time. In the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, the plurality of the essence of God is also revealed in the Old Testament.
Well, in the Old Testament, many times, like in Joshua chapter 24, it says that they were worshiping other gods before.
False gods.
Abraham was worshiping
other gods.
Other gods, though.
Bonnie, they really weren't actual real gods. They weren't actually really gods. They were false gods. Like the Mormon God. The Mormon God, for example, is an exalted man from another planet. They believe that's what God is, but that's false. He doesn't really exist. It's a false god. It's not real.
See, I understand that if you believe that there is only one God, Jehovah, okay? I understand when you look at the Bible and you go through that when you're reading it and you have that understanding when you read
it. Do you have a question?
I don't think, see, to me, they're all false gods, even Jehovah. See, okay. So to me, they're all false.
Okay. So you deny that God is God. You deny that Yahweh.
I deny because they
what do you deny?
Had.
What do you deny?
Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Okay.
It says that the Most High divided up the earth, and he gave Jacob Jehovah. He gave Jehovah to Jacob. In other words, Jacob's God was Jehovah. It says the Most High divided up all the earth. And if you go on to Deuteronomy 13.
Well, hold on. You can understand something. I'm trying to have a dialogue with you, and when I ask you a question,
yeah.
You basically kind of ignore the question, and you want to start doing teaching. You make a statement, and then you just keep going, and, you know, it's really not a good conversation we're having here. You just make these
All
statements.
Right.
I mean, okay. You know, you called up, and I'm giving you the time to have this conversation, but you keep giving me these things, and you don't want me to really respond to them. When I do ask and answer the question, you basically ignore the answer, and you go to something else.
But are you doing that to me, too?
Wow. Okay, at least you admit you're doing that. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, but I think you're doing that to me, too.
Okay, hold on. The Bible tells us that there's only one God in all existence in all place. It says the Lord is God. It says Yahweh is Elohim. That's what it says. There's only one God, and the name of God is I Am. Which we kind of get Yahweh from, or it's not a very good translation, not a very good pronunciation, but Jehovah. It's very inaccurate. But it's basically the name I Am, which Jesus claimed for himself. So if you don't believe
in
this...
Well, that's your opinion, though.
Jesus says before Abraham was, I Am. John 8:58.
He said that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And they wanted to kill him for that. Now in John 10:30... He says, I and the Father are one. They want to pick up stones and throw again at him. They want to kill him. And he asked them why. And they said, you make yourself out to be God. Where did he say what he said that was claiming to be God then? Where?
Are you saying he claimed to be God?
Yes, Jesus did. He says, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. Unless you believe that I am.
Did he ever come out and say, I am God?
He never said the words, I am God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's claiming the very name of God for himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any original manuscripts from the first century where we can depend on them that these were actually words from Jesus?
Okay. We have very few manuscripts from the turn of the first century. There's some debate on some fragments they think are actually original documents. But we don't have any way of actually knowing, because how would you know if it's original? It's just very, very ancient. We have 55 to 5800 New Testament copies of the New Testament in Greek.
But
in various forms
of from when, though?
From roughly the year 100-ish. On to, you know, 600, 700, 800. We got lots of it all from all over the place.
Okay, because I thought most of them were from like the 3rd century.
There might have been most of them. Now, are you going to church by any chance?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't want anything to do with religion anymore. But I love studying the Bible, though, now.
Okay. No,
now
okay.
that I left.
Well, yeah, I can see why you don't want anything to do with religion, because a Jehovah's Witness organization is a cult, and it... messed you up. Yeah, it's a cult. It messed you up. But you still have to understand who Jesus is. Now, I would really recommend that you go to my website, Carm, and look up the issues of who Jesus is and see what the scriptures say. Paul the Apostle claimed that he was God. Jesus claimed to be God.
Okay, Matt, how old are you?
I'm 61.
I'm going to be 72. You're how old?
61.
I was 68. When I woke up from my religion.
All right.
And so I spent 50 years in it. Are you absolutely sure there's absolutely no way you could ever be fooled?
Okay.
Because I was for 50 years.
I trust the word of God. I have studied Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, all kinds of religious systems. I know Christian theology extremely well. I've been doing this for 38 years. All I can tell you is I look at the word of God, period. All kinds of stuff in the word of God. And if I'm wrong, let the word of God be the thing that proves it. But if I'm believing that Jesus is the I Am, as he said, I can even read the New Testament Greek. I've had 4.5 years of Greek. I'm really rusty, but I have enough of the skill left. I can look and see what it says. I can tell you it's accurately translated into the English. So, that's what it is. Okay, Bonnie, yeah. We're going to move along. All right, Bonnie? Well, God bless.
Thanks,
and,
bye.
You know, keep listening, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-339-0930. 800-339-0930. 800-339-0930. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-339-0930.
Have you got your PhD? It's the only degree you need to get to heaven.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus.
In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ masterfully tells us the road to the kingdom, getting your PhD, poor, hungry, and destitute. Luke 6:20. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. Are you so poor, so emptied of yourself, that you're ready to receive his kingdom and lay aside your own? Are you so hungry that you're ready for him to satisfy you? And are you so destitute, broken over your sin, that you realize you need his saving grace? That's what it means to get your PhD, and that's the way of the master. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Get that degree, reach out to Jesus, and follow him.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus. Available now in bookstores. Learn more at lastwordsofjesus.com.
It's often said hiring the right person is one of the best investments you can make in your business. Well, I got to thinking about ways that you could recruit new employees. When we place a listing in the newspaper or on one of the hundreds of job search websites, we only reach candidates who are actively looking for a job. In essence, we're narrowing down the audience to the current unemployment rate, which here in Iowa is only about 3%. And when you use radio to advertise your job openings instead of talking to that small 3% who are out of work and or looking for a job, you can reach thousands more who are gainfully employed and may be persuaded to switch careers if the right job comes along. Another thing to consider is that as you're recruiting for high-quality employees with positive attitudes and a great work ethic, you're also telling future customers what kind of great service they will receive when they hire your company. So consider recruiting for your company right here on 99.3 FM The Truth. To get started, give me a call. I'm Chris Roloff, 515-230-4481. Now.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. After the break, let's get to John from New Jersey. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. I got a question. It might be I got a couple of short, quick questions. Mm-hmm. Can the devil laugh?
Can he what?
Laugh.
L-A-U-G-H, like laugh at a joke, you mean laugh?
Yeah, because some people think, oh, the devil laughs, you know, and as people go to hell.
It depends what you mean. Laugh isn't a mock. Can he mock? Well, in that sense, yes, because the word laugh can be used in that context of mockery. He laughs at you. The Lord laughs at you for your foolishness. Okay. So, you see, in a, it depends on what you mean by it, but in that sense, yes. In a mocking, condemning, evil way, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, when, another quick question. When a person dies, do their, does their soul go to... can it come back as like a ghost and in limbo?
No. Nope.
No.
So what happens when a person dies? Ghosts are demonic manifestations and imitations called familiar spirits. So when you die, a Christian goes to be the presence of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. And the unbelievers...
Okay, so the Christian goes to be
and
the presence of the Lord. What about an unbeliever?
And the unbelievers are go to a place of holding for judgment. And it's not good.
Okay. All right, Matt.
All right.
That's all I had.
Okay, man. God bless. All right, it was John from New Jersey. Let's jump right over to... Let's just get to... I'm not sure how to pronounce that name. Detive, or whatever. From Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you doing? Are you there? Hello? Yes. Welcome to the show.
Oh, Detive.
Detive, okay. So, you got a question?
Yes. It's still on the Trinity issue.
Okay.
I was listening to the answer you gave to the lady.
Yeah.
Before I ask you my question about Trinity, can I give you an analogy before?
Well, I don't know what your analogy is going to be of. I don't know if it's related to the topic. So, why don't you just ask me the question? Let's go from there.
Yeah, let me give you the analogy.
No. Okay. Just please, don't.
Okay.
Just ask me the question. Yeah.
The question is this. If you permit me, I'll give you the analogy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, God is called, or Jehovah is called, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the God means, right? The God of somebody, the God of Abraham.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, Jehovah. I'm coming with my question. Here, Jehovah is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think that means?
Okay, that's your question?
It's part of my question. Coming up with the Trinity. I want to tell you why Jehovah's Witness is done.
Excuse me. Hold on. Yeah. First of all, the word God is not in, or the word Jehovah is not in the New Testament.
Okay.
It's not there. So the word God is theos, and the word Lord, kurios, is used often in a translation of the Old Testament out of the Septuagint to replace the name of Yahweh, which is God. So you misquoted the New Testament. You're Jehovah's Witness, right?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Are you a Jehovah's Witness? Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
Yes, okay. I am, yes.
Okay. Now, you want to know, hold on a sec. It's not your show. Wait a minute. The reason I could tell you're Jehovah's Witness is because of what you just did. The Jehovah's Witness organization has deceived you. What it does is it takes Jehovah's name out of the Old Testament and puts it in the New Testament when the Greek writers themselves did not do that. And they do it inconsistently. You haven't done your homework in this area and checked to see that the Watchtower has misled you in this. I can prove it to you.
Can I say something? I didn't say that Jehovah's Witness put the name of Jehovah there. I just wanted to differentiate between the two. That's why I called God Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Don't dwell on that.
Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Let's say God.
I'm going to put him on hold. Because he's not listening, folks. And so it's hard to have two conversations at once when this, both people are talking at the same time. So I forgot his name. I'm not trying to mispronounce his name, but you're on hold. So you got to hold on right now. Dite, I think his name is. What the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society folks has done is brainwashed its members so that they think they all have the truth. They don't really listen to dialogue. With the last caller, as you could see, she's out of the Watchtower, but the methodology of that is still in her head and is still has that attitude. This gentleman, pretty typical. So what the Watchtower has done is taken the Old Testament word Yahweh, which they really, it's not a good translation to say Jehovah, but we'll use that for now. And when the Hebrew was translated by the Hebrews into Greek, the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek around 250 BC, they called the Septuagint. The Jews themselves translated the word Yahweh into the word Kurios, Lord. The New Testament writers, when they referenced the Old Testament, would quote the Septuagint in the Greek, and they would use the word Kurios, or the word Lord. But what the Watchtower does is it takes the liberty to put Yahweh's name, Jehovah's name, in the New Testament when the Greek writers themselves didn't even do it. What gives them the right to do that? Now, that's makes you suspect right there. Second, they're inconsistent when they do that. They don't do it inconsistently, and I can show you. Out of 1 Corinthians 1, 2, they don't do that. And there's some problems there. Now, I'm just trying to show people that the Bible and Tract Society, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, it's not Christian. Now, let's get back to them. Hopefully, we can have a conversation. Now, notice this. What they want to do, generally speaking, is dominate conversations, because that's what they're taught to do. But I won't let that happen. So let's try it again. Welcome back. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right. And you got to be polite. You know, we got to take turns talking here, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry if I wasn't polite. But what I'm trying to say is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it calls God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It calls somebody the God of Jesus Christ. What do you think that means?
It says God and Father. So God, in that word there is in reference to the Father. Of the Lord Jesus. Do you know why he's the Father of the Lord Jesus? Because Jesus Christ was born under the law, Galatians 4:4, as a human being, John 1:1, verse 14. That's why I would say that.
So you deny. Is that why he calls him his God too?
He calls the Father his God because Jesus is under the law. And if he's under the law, he is obligated to fulfill the law and worship God. So he calls his Father his God because he's under the law.
All right. Okay. I guess I'm being polite enough.
Very good.
Okay. Now, you know, the meaning of Trinity, one of the meanings, is co-equal, co-eternal.
In nature, nature, yes.
Okay. Because if you read through the scripture, Jesus himself said, the Father is greater than I am.
John 14:28.
Good.
Let me answer that for you. Are you married?
I'm married, yes.
Okay. Are you in spiritual authority over your wife?
Am I what?
Are you in spiritual authority over your wife in the home?
Yes. I'm the head of my family.
So you are greater than your wife in spiritual authority and stuff, right? Right?
Yes.
Jesus was made for a little while lower than the angels, Hebrews 2:9. Made under the law, Galatians 4:4. Positionally, he was under that law, and therefore the Father was greater than him. It does not say he was not God. We're going to have a break here in a minute. I will show you from the scriptures that you won't be able to answer that Jesus is God. You want me to show that to you?
You want to show it now or after the break? Go ahead.
I'll start now. It's going to take a little bit.
Okay.
There's a phrase in the Old Testament, to call upon the name of Jehovah. It's only used of Jehovah. Call upon the name of Jehovah. Psalm 116, verse 4. Zechariah 13:9. To call upon the name of Jehovah is to pray to him, to worship him, to call him God, to seek him. It's only Jehovah. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. When the Hebrews translated the Old Testament into Greek, they translated the phrase, call upon the name of Jehovah, into the phrase, call upon the name of the Lord. That's what they did. Okay? You with me?
Okay. Yeah.
The phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, is in reference to Jehovah. Now, after the break, I'll show you where it's applied to Jesus. Stay tuned, folks. Be right back after these messages, and hopefully it'll get interesting. Stay tuned.
In Africa, five-year-old Charu has no choice. She and millions like her must walk miles every day for dirty water. But together, we can end their walk by providing clean water close by. Instead of spending hours walking to get water that makes them sick, girls can be in a classroom that expands their minds, and moms will gain back time to care for their families. Sons and daughters can grow up strong, finally free of sicknesses caused by dirty water. At World Vision, care about clean water runs deep. Deep enough to reach one new person with clean water every 10 seconds. Because every child, every person, everywhere deserves clean water and a chance to rise to their full potential. It's true. When you just add water, you change a life. Learn more at worldvision.org.
If you saw a person suffering alongside the road, would you stop and care? Hi, I'm Karen Mulder with today's Caring Wisdom. One day, as I neared the end of a 20-mile breast cancer walk, I was so tired, and I came alongside a walker who was barely moving, and she was in pure agony. I said, "Do you need some water or a power bar?" She said, "No." Then she added, "Where are the shuttles when you need them?" Now, I should have stayed with her and encouraged her to sit down and then watched for a shuttle. But I didn't. My agenda took over. I wanted to get this walk over, have a shower, rub my sore feet, and go to bed. And I'm so sorry that I chose my agenda over my wounded neighbor. Would you? God bless.
Visit Karen's website, wisdomofthewounded.com, for additional resources on how to care well.
How do you Friday? Whether you're trying to firm up, slim down, feel better, or simply take a break, Smoothie King has the smoothie for you. And with our $5 Fridays, you can Friday with a purpose. 32-ounce smoothies are just $5, and 32-ounce meal replacements are just $6. All blends, all flavors, all Friday. So how do you Friday? Friday like a king. Only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Participating locations, some restrictions may apply.
Do you ever feel afraid, desperate, or alone? This week on the Bible Study Hour with Dr. James Boyce, we'll study Psalm 56, where David is on his own, alone, and scared. But by the end of the psalm, David expresses a quiet, steady confidence in God. How does he get there, and how can we move from a place of fear to a place of faith?
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Okay, I hope I get your name right. DT? What? I hope you're still there. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Now, the phrase, "call upon the name of the Lord," is only used of Jehovah. The Jews translated it in the Septuagint to call upon the name of the Lord. That phrase, "call upon the name of Jehovah," excuse me, is translated by the Jews to call upon the name of the Lord. That is used of Jesus. I'm going to read to you the Watchtower. This is what the New World Translation says. 1 Corinthians 1:2, "To the congregation of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in union with Christ Jesus, called to be holy ones, together with all who everywhere are calling upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." What it says in the Greek is calling upon the name of the Lord of us, Jesus. Why would Paul the Apostle use that phrase that is used only of Jehovah in worship and prayer and adoration? Why would he apply it to Jesus? Can you answer?
Mr. Mark,
can you answer that?
If you want to hang Trinity on this kind of excuses or whatever.
I just asked you a question. I asked you a question. I simply asked you a question. Why would Paul? Why would Paul use that phrase that's only of Jehovah and apply it to Jesus in worship and prayer and adoration?
Look where Jesus said, "The Father is greater than I am."
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. He's on hold, folks. Notice, I asked a question. He can't answer the question. So what they do is they take a different direction. So what I'm going to do is hammer on this one thing politely. This is why I have to do this. So stay tuned. We'll see how far we can get, okay? Now, let me ask you the question. Why would Paul the Apostle apply this phrase to Jesus when it's only in reference to adoration, worship, and prayer to God? Why would he apply it to Jesus? Can you answer the question?
I don't know if he applied it to Jesus. Where did you quote?
To call upon the name, to call upon the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:2.
Okay, what part of 1 Corinthians 1:2? I've not read it, but go ahead.
Okay,
I've not read it.
That's fair. That's fair. Then what I would like you to do is read it, study it, call me tomorrow. And tell me what you think
no,
of it.
Mr. Matt, I want you to do.
All right. So I want you're on hold. I want you to study it and call me tomorrow and see if you have an answer. Okay? We're going to move on. We've got callers who have been waiting for quite a while. We're going to move along. But study that. If you can't answer it, then the watchtower is false. Because that's what it says there. Let's get to Eric from Wisconsin, Justification. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What do you got, man?
Okay, good. I have two questions, actually.
Okay.
And it's in regards to justification.
Okay, what's your question?
First question I have is, I've heard you say repeatedly, as I've listened several times, that a person shouldn't, you know, go to a priest to ask forgiveness for his sins,
Right. The Roman Catholic Church does not have any authority from Christ, and you shouldn't go to a priest to get forgiven. You go to Jesus. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Jesus is the one that justifies.
Yeah. God, Jesus, yes, we justify by faith. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah?
All right, so that's my first question. My second question is in regards to James. Because there seems to be a...
James what?
A mix-up here. I think it's James 2, somewhere between 2:14 and 2:20, somewhere in there, it says, Abraham, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac?
Yeah, verse 21. Let's look at the context. You ready? Verse 14... What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? See, even so, faith without works is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say to me, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, that's verse 18. What James is saying is, if you say you're a believer, let me see it. And I'm a believer, let me show you. It's called the horizontal between people. It's justification between people, the horizontal. Verse 18 again. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I will show you my faith by my works. So what he's saying is that he's going to show you he's a real Christian by his works. By his faith. It's horizontal again. Verse 19, you believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. What James is condemning is empty, dead faith. Real faith produces works. That's how we know one to another if we have real faith. You don't know if I have real faith unless you see my works. I don't know if you have real faith unless I see your works. He goes on, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when you offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? The context is between people, not before God. And we know that's the case because when we go to Romans chapter 4, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now that's the very same verse that James quotes. Because he says in verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, Abraham's works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says that Abraham believed God, was reckoned him as righteousness. Both James and Paul quote the same verse. But you see, what James is doing is talking about faith before people. But Paul is talking about faith before God. Justification before people is not the same thing as justification before God. We have to do people, we have to show our works. God doesn't need it. He knows our faith. That's what's going on. Okay? Are you there? Hello? I guess we lost him. we'll move along. Because we lost him. Let's get to Alex from Van Nuys. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Matt. You've been having a lot of tough callers, huh?
Yeah, let's just say people are commenting on my patience. That's what people are saying in text rooms. I go, man, he's patient. So what do you got, buddy? Hurry up. I'm impatient now. Hurry.
I've never seen such little time. Okay. All right. So I pretty much want to know, how did Judas actually really died? This is a Mormon question from one of my Mormon buddies. Matthew 27:5, he hung himself in Acts 1:18. Says that he went head first, and then his body splattered, his intestines spilled over. I have a theory. Let me know if it's right or wrong. I think he hung himself, and then afterwards the tree or whatever he hung himself from snapped off, and then he went head first, and his whole body just splattered. That's my
very
theory.
Good.
What do you think?
Good answer.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I am awesome. All right, great.
Now, let me tell you. When I was in Israel, we actually went to a certain place, and we're driving by a road in Jerusalem, and the tour guide incidentally goes, oh, by the way, that hill right there, little side hill, that's where Jesus hung himself. I mean, where Judas hung himself. And it kept going. I'm like, what? And I glanced over at it, and there was this hillside with a row of trees about, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 feet up from the bottom. A steep side. I went, whoa. That he hung himself. It broke. He fell down, gushed out. Yeah, no sweat.
Wow. It's,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, you remain patient, and be patient with me when I ask a longer question next time. Thank you. God bless.
No problem, man. God bless, buddy. All right. That's Alex from Van Nuys. Let's get over to David from North Carolina. Hey, David, how are you doing, buddy? Are you there?
I'm sorry. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Dave.
For a second.
That's all right.
Okay. I know we got to hurry. You're about out of time. But
That's all right. Yeah.
I was thinking about the lady who called several callers ago, Bonnie, I believe it was, that was having trouble understanding the Trinity. Just a comment and then kind of sort of a question for you. I think of it as like water. Like it could be water, or it could be steam, or it could be ice. It's all H2O, but the only difference is God could do it all at the same time. But water is all three. It takes three forms. It takes the liquid form, the steam, vapor, and ice. That's kind of how I think of it.
Yeah, and let me comment about that. Hold on. Let me comment about that.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to dissuade you from using an analogy, but I'm going to give you a better one. That analogy can lend itself to what's called modal monarchianism, modalism, Sabellianism, or oneness theology, where one substance takes different forms, and that's the idea that one person of God takes three different forms. That's a problem with that. There is a better analogy, and then I use time. Time is past, present, and future. Now, each one has the essence of time, and they're not different forms of the same thing. They're just the same thing, but they're different, but they're the same. this, the past is not the same as the future, which is not the same as the present, things like that. Yet each by nature are time. And I just use that.
I like yours better.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, I used to use the water one.
Really good.
Yeah, but I gave it up. But anyway, go ahead.
I'll let you come. And the other one she mentioned, you know, where the Israelites were worshiping false gods, and I was thinking about Baal, and if I'm understanding correctly, part of their worship was like fornication and sacrificing babies in the fire to Baal. Maybe wrong on that, but that's, you know, definitely false. It's not in the Bible. It's not, you know, but, and I guess my question is, like, could these false gods that they were worshiping come from Genesis 6, where the fallen angels or sons of God mated with human women and gave offspring of men of renown and giants and that type of thing? Is that where they would... Were they worshiping these because they were half human and half angel?
I don't know if there's any record
of
them.
Maybe they had more power?
I don't know if there's any record of them being worshipped. That's certainly possible, but maybe someone knows about that and knows an apocalyptic, non-inspired source that says that. But it's certainly possible.
Yeah, the Nephilim is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I've studied them quite a bit. Yeah, I know about them too. But the issue here, Galatians...
Maybe that was the false gods?
No, I wouldn't really go there. But Galatians 4:8 is what I was trying to get to earlier. However, at the time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. So, you see, the Bible recognizes that there are other gods, but they by nature are no gods. In other words, they really don't exist.
They're like a little g...
They don't exist. They're not real. People believe in them, but doesn't make them real. That's all. Okay, buddy? We're out of time.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That was David, and sorry about that, Eric. We'll get back to you maybe tomorrow if you call. Hey, folks. Hope you had a great time listening to the show, and by his grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See ya. Bye.